Thank God for the privilege given to me to minister God's word to you. Last week, Pastor Gan preached and indeed an exhaustive sermon, a message on the topic why there are suffering and evil in the world. And he reminded us as Christians that we are not immune to suffering. Yes, indeed, we are living in an evil world. Sufferings of all kinds. Natural disasters, as in typhoon, flooding, earthquakes, pestilence, political unrest, like what is going on in Hong Kong. Man-made problems like the haze situation in Indonesia, that has affected many people. Flights were cancelled, and those with respiratory issues are badly affected. Christians or non-Christians, yes, we suffer from all kinds of illnesses and emotional and physical pains. 5 months ago, I was scheduled to preach here on this pulpit, but I was taken ill due to dengue. And it was a trying time. I'm thankful to the Lord for not only preserving my life, but also for His sustaining grace. My faith in God was once again, as it were, tested. I had to learn to be quiet and to be patient, waiting upon the Lord to teach me and to show me the lessons that I need to learn. And indeed, every trial is a learning experience for all of us. Yes, it's so easy for us to ask the question, and I did ask, why me, Lord? Why me? Why do I need to go through sufferings? And why test me? And why test me at this crucial hour, or crucial period when I have make so many plans for myself? We still have to acknowledge that God is sovereign, although we may not fully understand His purpose for our lives. And in the context of the book of James, it is about the kind of emotional as well as especially physical sufferings that the followers of Jesus have to endure because of their faith in God. The Christians, they suffered because they make known their faith to their unbelieving community. They suffered because they seek to live a godly life, a separated life different from the society that they were living in. And they suffered because they fervently follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. And they suffered because they believe and practice what the Bible says. And because of persecution, the first century Christians, they were scattered to different places. And James was used by the Lord to write this letter to encourage them, to encourage all those Christians who were scattered, who were dispersed all over the place due to persecution. And the Lord used him to exhort the Christians and continue to teach them in their Christian life, in their Christian walk. And this is an important fact that we have to bear in mind even as we read and study the book of James, that is, they were being persecuted. And at the same time, to be reminded how we should live a practical Christian life. For example, in verse 10, here James says, but the rich in that he is made low. As you can see here, some Christians were made poor because they refused to compromise their faith and they refused to compromise their convictions that God has laid upon their hearts. They refused to take bribes or to give bribes in order to secure a business. They refused to lie, they refused to deceive, they refused to cheat in order to have better earnings. And they refused to do anything that would be harmful to others and especially against God's commandments. They seek to obey what they believe strongly, to love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength, and also to love their neighbors. And because of that, they were persecuted. They were persecuted for their faith and their practice. They faced persecution for the sake of the gospel. They did not stop telling others about Jesus, and they did not stop proclaiming that Jesus is indeed their Savior and Redeemer. And because of that, they were made poorer, as it were. And this is the background of the book of James. However, I would like to propose to you that in my application in this text before us, I will be talking about sufferings of all kinds that will test our faith. Yes, it could be due to persecution. It could be due to natural disasters. It could be due to all kinds of physical illnesses. It could be due to all kinds of man-made problems, problems that we create even for ourselves, or problems created by others. And it could be due to our own faults, our failures, and because of our own sin. Yes, we suffer the consequences of our sin. And as we suffer, and sometimes we also suffer because of the sin of others. So I'm going to apply this text before us in a rather broad way. And the obvious reaction and the obvious question that we ask ourselves is this: why? Why our faith needs to be tested? And the next question is, in what way or ways will we be tested? My dear brothers and sisters, has your faith been tested? What I mean is this: have you come to a point in your life where you ask, during the period of your testing, is there a God? Is Jesus Christ real to me? Is Jesus Christ really my Savior and my Redeemer? And if that is so, why am I suffering? Is He real? Why do I have to suffer in this way? Yes, when we are suffering, sometimes, or in fact, oftentimes, we hear two voices, as it were, inner voices. God is nowhere to be found. And another voice saying, yes, God is now here to help me. Which voice should we hear? By the way, take note of these two words: nowhere, now here. N-O-W-H-E-R-E or N-O-W-H-E-R-E. They have the same letters. It all depends how you're going to place it. So the first question we need to ask is this: why our faith needs to be tested? That is from verses 1 to 8. And the answer given in this passage of Scripture is quite clear. But before we look at the few key verses, we need to understand that testing that we go through will indeed show the genuineness of our faith. This idea of testing, as described here, in fact, in the Bible, refers to that of an iron ore that has to go through refining fire. And that refining oven with intense heat, and that comes out of the what comes out of the other side will be clean, pure, and genuine. That is the word, the testing, the meaning behind. And this is the word, in fact, used by Job when he say in Job 23, verse 10, he says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me," when Job says, when God has tried me, he says, "I will come forth as gold. I will come forth as gold." But James here in this passage put it in another way that is found in verses 3 and 4. When he says, "Knowing this, that the testing, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing." Indeed, wanting nothing but only Christ and Christ alone. And if we're able to view or keep this in view and look at all trials from a biblical perspective, I'm sure we will be able to find comfort and thus leading us to have joy and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what James exhorts us to do here in James, where he says, "Count it all joy. Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse, different kinds of testings." And if we may put it in another way, that is the purpose of trial and testing is that we might be completely yielded to Christ and Christ alone. And well, Christ alone, who has promised not only to accept us, but promised to mold our lives. And as for Job, as you know, even Pastor Gabriel mentioned about his trials, in that they were severe, and it seems that Job was hanging on to his earthly possessions. Yes, it seems. And that is exactly what the devil perceived it to be, perceived him to be, that is hanging on to earthly possessions. So we were told in the scripture, in book of Job, that his children were taken away from him, his servants were taken away from him, his possessions were taken away from him. But the Bible tells us in Job 1 verse 22, "In all this Job sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly." Job yielded completely his life to God. Everything gone. But you and I know that his testing did not just end there at chapter 1. It went on and on for quite a while. And his body was also afflicted too. Yes, indeed. Well, when we hold fast to believe in Christ, in spite of life's storm, and for that matter, even crushing criticism, that is when we are able to stay strong, and that is when we demonstrate the genuineness of our faith. And to put it simpler, to put it simply, trial is good for, is for our good, because God loves us. He wants us to be complete in Him, trusting our lives totally in His loving hands, surrendering everything to Him. Who will be tested? We'll see that from verses 9 to 11. Yes, all those who claim to be Christians, claim to be followers of Christ, they will be tested. If you claim to be a child of God, you will be tested. If you claim to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Redeemer, you will be tested. I know some people will claim to be, or rather, I know that there are some who claim to be believers in Christ, and they are now no longer trusting in Christ. They have stopped coming to church. They have stopped reading the Bible. They have stopped praying. They have stopped having fellowship with other believers in Christ. They have stopped associating themselves or herself with the Christian faith. Yes, the genuineness of their faith was tested. The saving grace of Christ is not manifested in their lives anymore when they were tested. As it were, they failed. They failed the test. Who will be tested? As we see in verse 9, the poor and the rich. James here says in verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Someone who is of low degree, maybe not so rich, or you may consider that person a poor. But verse 10 says, but the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass, he shall pass away. There are poor Christians and there are also rich Christians. Some of you are definitely richer than myself, or some of you are not as rich as myself. It's all relative. But we will all be tested, whether you are rich or poor. And James has this advice to them, in that James did not say that, oh, you poor Christians, when you trust in Christ, you'll be richer. But all he says is that for those who are of a low degree, they should rejoice because they are exalted, in that they have spiritual riches given by God that is far better than material riches. And he also reminded the rich Christians, they ought to have a proper perspective of what is in life as a Christian, especially when perhaps their business is not so good, or perhaps they have been taken advantage of, or perhaps certain things just has gone wrong and they are not as rich as they would desire to be. And that is exactly what James tells them, that is, they should not cling on or depend on their riches and cling on tightly to their earthly possession, because riches do not last forever. The rich should not be discouraged because they are made low, because one day they have to let go of everything. Let me tell you a story of a group of professionals. One of them is a telecom engineer, another one is a vet, and another a lawyer. And they let go of everything in search of Christ. About 25 years ago, a group of 7 Iranians came into this church here. I'm not sure how many of us, when we were there, remember this story. And I was conducting a wedding rehearsal. And they were genuine seekers of the gospel. They left behind their work, their jobs, and they were seeking to find Christ, to know what Christianity is all about. And from Iran, Tehran, they went to Turkey, but they could not get any help in Turkey. So from Turkey, they took a flight to Kuala Lumpur, and they also tried to go to the church in Kuala Lumpur, but they were turned away when the church got to know that they were from Iran, Iranians. Yeah, they were told to take a train to come to Singapore, and those were the days when the train services were still functioning. And they reached Tanjung Baga station, and they were asked to take the bus to Woodlands. You must be wondering, coming from all the way from KL, then to Tanjong Pagar and come back here, which is just near the custom. By the way, God is sovereign. And at that time, the bus terminal was just at the Marsiling Market. And from Marsiling Market, they were pointed by strangers when they were asking, where can I find a church? And they were pointed by strangers to come all the way to New Life. And it was about 9 p.m. And we were about to finish a wedding rehearsal. To cut the long story short, it was an exciting story about them. We accommodated them for 3 months and taught them God's word. And they were baptized at different times, both in this church and a couple baptized in Johor Bahru. And I remember using the cliche, and that's what I want to tell you. That is, when I asked them, do you know that you have to pay a price to be a Christian? And immediately, they were asking me, how much do I need to pay to become a Christian? And they were looking at their pockets. And that is when I realized that such cliche has been taken for granted. I have taken it for granted. So what I was trying to tell them was that they must prepare to face persecution, even death. Now, you see, I spent about a year in Pakistan before I got married, and I got to know the difficulties the Muslims have to go through if they decide to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So it is the same with the Muslims in Iran, or for that matter, even across the causeway, or even in our country here. Yes, I'm thankful that they were willing to face persecution. And the true fact is that persecution of Christians is happening everywhere today. So we have to send them back to Iran. And since then, we do not have any contact. But I want us to take courage. It is something that probably I will not be able to fully understand, is that the church in Iran, though it's a Muslim country, the church is growing. It is growing. Not about church buildings, but it's about the people. Yes, because of persecution, some will be murdered, and some will be kidnapped. And until now, as you know, I have shared with you before, that is my friend, Pastor Raymond Koh. He gone missing in February 2 years ago in 2017. Until now, he's still missing. And the family members, his wife, Susanna, and the children, they are still suffering emotionally because they do not know whether the husband, the father, is dead or alive. Now, the interesting question is that what kind that we need to ask is from this passage, is what kind of trials will we encounter? What kind? It is definitely not the kind that will give us pleasure and comfort. Yes, the fear of being arrested, the fear of death, the fear of imprisonment. Yes, it is still happening today. If we declare to be a Christian and to live a godly life, be prepared to be treated differently, indeed by our family members, by our bosses, by our colleagues, and even by our friends. Yes, we do not like to hear these words, you are fired. Yes, you are fired. And you are fired because you refuse to compromise. You refuse to cheat. And you refuse to lie. Our faith in God will be tested. Or perhaps our faith could be tested when the doctor say to us, you have contracted a dreadful disease. Yes, trial is anything that will disturb us, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually. And trial is anything that causes us to be fearful about our livelihood, the welfare of our family members, our spouses, our children, and even our life. And when our lives are being threatened, it is indeed a trial. As we turn to the Holy Scripture and read about what is really happening in the last days, everything seems to be indeed real even before our very eyes today. The Bible talks about Christians who are being persecuted because of their faith. It is happening, my dear friends. I trust that we will not be blinded to the fact that there are many Christians who are being persecuted because of their faith. And the Bible talks about physical sufferings due to all kinds of pestilence. Then this is happening. And also political unrest. And that is what we see before our eyes now happening in Hong Kong. Is the Lord speaking to us about His soon coming? Answer is yes. Is the Lord telling us to prepare earnestly to serve Him? The answer is yes. And more importantly is that, are you prepared to meet the Lord? The next question is, what does it really mean to endure? 2 Timothy 2:3, here the Apostle Paul here says, but thou therefore endure hardness. Hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are called to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yes, my dear friends, you are called to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. We are called. During peacetime, we endure the hardness of combat training. We have to endure those mental and physical stress. During wartime, we have to endure the hardness of going into the battlefield. And this is the picture given to us by the Apostle Paul, the soldier of Christ, or the picture of a soldier enduring to the end. And the kind of endurance, you may ask, for what purpose? Going back to our Westminster Confession of Faith, Shorter Catechism, question one. What is the chief end of man? What is the ultimate, primary purpose of man? And the answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Yes, endure to the end. To the end. Till we meet the Lord. The word endure, this is how it is spelled. E-N-D-U-R-E. And you remove the last three letters, U-R-E, it is what? N, E-N, E-N-D, okay? And E-N-D in front. So we must always have an end point in view. What is it? That is to glorify God. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And if you were to put a P in front of the last three letters of the word endure, P, P-U-R-E, the word pure, and that's what Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, in that they are made pure by the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall see God. For example, in 1 Peter 2:18 and 19, these are the practical example given to us, where Peter says, servants, maybe you should take note of that. That is 1 Peter 2:18-19. Let me read to you. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. Yes, enduring sorrows while suffering unjustly. Enduring unjust treatments. Not fight against unjust treatments. You may say, wow, isn't it difficult? Yes, very difficult. But that is what the Word of God is telling us to do, to endure. to endure even when we are treated unjustly. And there's another kind of endurance, as that of a soldier, that the sufferings we impose upon ourselves. As I mentioned, soldiers need to build up their strength and their stamina, and they have to engage in all kinds of physical endurance and mental endurance exercises to keep them fit, to keep them ready for battle. Yes, indeed, we must pray for all our young men here, all the young people here who are doing their national service. They need lots of endurance. Yes, we think of those who have to travel long distances to reach to the mission post. I remember having to travel about 5 hours by van, not a very comfortable kind of van, like what we have at New Life, but traveling all the way up to the hill country, all the way to the tea plantation area. It was not easy to endure the long and winding and bumpy journey. It was rather exhausting. I was exhausted after 5 hours of ride. Yes, sometimes when God called us to engage ourselves in the work of missions, and that is when we need to endure. And endurance means to be willing to get out of our comfort zone. I think Singapore is too comfortable, and we need to get out of our comfort zone from time to time. That is willing to even live in the slums. I remember meeting a couple from New Zealand, and they were willing to live in the slums in the Philippines just to minister to those poor residents in those slum areas. I remember going to Albania to visit a missionary, and she has to endure the harsh living condition in the village that she was serving. And I was given the opportunity to see how she was able to manage her life in that particular village in Albania, in that she has to collect water from the well and to collect ration water early in the morning. And during winter time, it'll be snowing, it'll be very cold, yeah. And there's no proper heating system in the house that she was staying in. Yes, sufferings that we impose upon ourselves in order to stay strong and for the sake of the gospel ministry. I'd like to share with you now another story, and I believe this story is a touching story. When I was reading this passage of scripture, I thought in my mind that this is a good story to share with you. And it is about the killing of this young American missionary by the name John Allen Chow. His name is Chow because the father is Chinese and the mother is Caucasian American. And he was killed by those hostile natives on the small island in the Andaman Archipelago, that is in East India in the Bay of Bengal. It was just happened last year in November the 17th, just last year. And when when he was 18 years of age, he went on a mission on mission trips. And during the trip, he received the call to be a missionary. And as he researched different groups, and he learned that the North Sentinelists, people, really, he learned about them, and he really felt the call to take the love of God and the goodness of Christ to them. And so he prepared himself for that call. And his family just said he had nothing but the love for the Sanitinianist people. Okay, it's tongue-twisting, but never mind, I'll try. What he endured, no outsiders knows about this, the language of the people. Okay, you can Google and you'll be able to find out more about yourself, about this group of people. But John took linguistic lessons regarding how to reach out to these people. And it seems that the closest is that of the African language. So he took time to study the African language. And he pursued wilderness and medical training. And he studied cultural research and the preservation of the life, the way of life. And in the year 2015, that was only just about four years ago, and he made four trips to the Andaman Island area. But making an approach to the North Sentinel Island, he received also multiple vaccination and quarantined himself for many days. So what I'm saying is that he was willing to prepare himself to reach out to the people. And John expressed the plan for action, and he intended to live among the people and to learn the language and to be there physically, and so that he will be able to share with them his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But sadly, he was killed before even he could land into the island, and he was only 26 years old. So even as I thought of him, I thought of the many Bible translators who were willing to give their life, to endure hardness, to live among tribal people, to learn their language, and to translate the Bible into their language, the language that they know. And it is no easy task, isn't it? 66 books of the Bible. And some there are some areas where they don't even have the full Bible translated, only the New Testament, and where some, that only certain part of the Bibles are only translated for them. So as it were, they were like commando soldiers marching into the front line, and they could be the first to be killed, and that's what happened to John Chow, and he was killed. Yes, endure hardship, endure sickness, endure rejection and persecution. Yes, I'm not sure how many God will call, even among our midst here, but I pray that we will be willing to go if the Lord will so call us and be sensitive to His voice. And then another kind of endurance, that is, they'll endure the chastening hand of God, to endure the discipline of God, as we read in Hebrews 12, verse 7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is testing you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Yes, when the Lord was to chastise us because of our sin, and that is when we need to quickly repent and to get right with God and continue to endure, to seek His help and to seek His favor. Then the next question is, what is the reward promised by God? And as you can see in verse 12, the memory verse, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth testing, trials. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Yes, a crown of life for believers who patiently endure trials and suffering. And we can expect God to reward us this imperishable crown. Then who will receive it? As you can see here, it is those who will endure to the end and those who love Him. Those who are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember what James also said about Job in James 5, verse 10 and 11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. That is suffering, affliction, and patience. And verse 11 of James 5, James says here, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. And that is what we need to be. That is what we hope that the Lord will grant us, that is patience. and have seen the end of the Lord, and the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Yes, this is something we may not be able to fully comprehend when we are suffering, but yet this is something that we must acknowledge, that God is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Who will receive the reward? His beloved, his chosen people who patiently endure. So it is important for us to examine our life. Very quickly, let me end by looking at our Lord Jesus Christ, where we were told in Mark 14, in that he went up to Gethsemane and he was praying. And Mark 14, 36, that is how he prayed. Abba, Father, all things are possible with thee. Take away this cup from me. And this cup means the cup of suffering. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. So what it means is this. He was crying to God to take away the cup of suffering. Take away, Lord, this cup of suffering from me. As a man, he was suffering. He was suffering. And as a man, he cried out to God to take away. But he did say in his prayer, not my will, but your will. So what it means is this, we commit our lives to God's will. Indeed, we must talk about submission, not resignation. Pleading, not quitting. Our Lord Jesus Christ endured to the end, and that is the example that has given to us. And let us continue to look to Jesus alone, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. So, brothers and sisters, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, not to the church, not to the believers, but look to Jesus when you are undergoing trials. Think and meditate upon what Christ has done for us. Think about all his promises and the good that will come out of the trial that you're going through. And we will definitely not be disappointed when we trust in Christ alone, and that when we look to him for help day by day. And that is a song that we're going to sing together. Amen.